Welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council Meeting, the regular council meeting of February 20th, 2024 at 7:09 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3rd, 2024, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was transmitted to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Oh, you want to, should we do this before roll call for tonight?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Okay, so what, a little bit out of order, but we have a letter from the Roosevelt Democratic Municipal Committee submitting three nominees to fill the vacancy that was left by Bob Atwood when he resigned. So, of the three names that you all have in your packet, Katarina, I don't have her last name in front of me. Oh, here we go, thank you. Pelikova, she's withdrawn her name for the time being. She is interested, but at a later date. So, right now we have, do you ever use Christina?
It's Christine is my legal name, but.
You know, you never knew that in all these years.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tina Kaufman and Ralph Warnick. And Ralph Warnick has stated that he was happy to go on if no one else was interested. But since we have Tina interested, Ralph would prefer not to. So, so this is Tina Kaufman, and she is willing to be a councilwoman for now. She's lived in Roosevelt her entire life. She was. Oh, okay. So she would be fulfilling Bob Atwood's seat, which goes until December 31st of this year, 2024. And Tina has. Once she became an adult, she also got married, bought a house here, raises her children here. So she's probably here longer than anyone except Lou. Well, no, I actually live here longer, but...
Yeah, I've been here since 79.
Right, but
never left.
It's been her whole life.
Right. From 23 South Rochdale to 28 Pine Drive, otherwise known as the
Sokolitsky's
house.
Oh, that's right. You're in the Sokolitsky's house. Yeah.
And I owned that house before I got married.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know my husband. Yeah, I bought it myself.
That's yeah, that's okay, so.
Do we need nominations?
You want to go first? Yeah.
I nominate Tina.
Second?
Okay.
Second? Okay. Roll call?
All right, so roll call. Mr. Lou Ethicoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Michael Hamilton is absent. Ms. Constance Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Yes.
Mayor Peggy Mouse?
No,
you don't.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the roll call. I'm so backwards. Okay, so
it's been adopted. So I just wanted to, Tina, do you know everyone at the table?
I don't know the attorney or the gentleman
Okay, so that.
I don't know the borough clerk. But
okay, this is Kathleen Hart, the borough clerk.
How are you?
And Steve Mocker, he lives on farm.
Okay.
Do you live in Maryland? Did you buy your house from Maryland? Did
no,
you
I live between Maryland and Connie.
Oh, he's in the middle between Maryland and Vigiano and Connie.
Okay.
But I'm Greg Cannon.
And
I live in Aberdeen Township. I really like Roosevelt, particularly the Aston Pink and the lake you have out there.
And you're by the shore.
So. And so, yes, I also do a little saltwater fishing as well.
Nice.
When I'm not in Roosevelt. I have four kids and a wife. And so that's
in that
lot.
Order.
Right.
I have a baseball dad and soccer dad and basketball dad, and this is how I pay for all that.
Well, I'm going to ask her.
And this is a particularly fun client for me. You have experience enough.
Are you prepared to sit at the table tonight? We can swear you in. Okay, great. You want to come up and we'll...
Much better than the team, really.
That's true.
If we can have a phone number where we can talk to her.
Well, she's going to have a borough email.
She's going to have her borough email.
And of course.
Yeah, after the meeting, you can certainly get a phone number. Sure.
Should I just call
one? No,
grab up there. We'll put you where, Mike. But I have to first read you the oath.
Yes.
Okay.
We don't see the Bible here.
Yeah, we don't
see
the Bible.
Correct?
We don't see the Bible.
For the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
On what?
Yeah.
Yep, raise your right hand.
And then repeat after me. First of all, I, and then state your name.
I, Christine Kaufman Maru,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the government established in the United States and in this state under the authority of the people and that I will faithfully impartially and justly perform all the duties of the office of Roosevelt Borough Council according to the best of my ability
Congratulations.
I need you to signature for your state
and then I'll notarize and put your name on there.
Okay.
Welcome, Tina, and your father would be really proud of you.
This is his little notebook.
Yeah.
Being a teacher, I'm a note taker.
What grade do you teach? I can't remember.
Kindergarten.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Hamilton's agenda, so you know what's going on.
Okay.
Okay, so we read the...
And now I'm going to do roll call.
Well, should I read the resolution?
Sure.
Okay. So resolution 24-37, a resolution appointing Tina Kaufman Marut to an unexpired term as councilperson within the borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, with said term expiring December 31st, 2024.
Okay, so I need to do a roll call to... First of all, I'm going to do a roll call.
In general. Okay.
We're going to add Ms. Christine Kaufman, whether you're present or absent.
Present.
Mr. Louis Ethicoff.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Michael Hamilton is absent. Ms. Constance Hertzstrom.
Yes.
Mr. Stephen Locker.
Yep.
Mr. Joseph Trammell.
Yep.
And Mayor Peggy Mountain.
Here.
Okay, so now we're going to adopt resolution 24-37, which is the appointing of Christine Kaufman to an unexpired term as councilperson within the borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, said term expiring December 31st, 2024. I already have a first and a second. So, yeah, and I already did the roll call. But I'll do it again officially. I'm on that.
It's Tuesday. We're not used to being here.
So, Christina Kaufman?
Present.
No, this is now to adopt your resolution, 2437.
Oh, what am I?
You can abstain.
You can abstain.
Are we doing this by alphabetical order?
Well, I will once I get my act together, alphabetically, because you want to be first.
So we'll never do it, right? You have to get your act together.
Okay, Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations.
No, you're not. Okay, just going to go right to public comment, agenda items only at 7:19 p.m. Anyone from the public like to speak?
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. And I am speaking on the mosquito thing, which was a correspondent, would that still be considered on the agenda?
If it's not correspondent?
Yes. Okay. Okay. I believe in the letter that they were asking for a... did you to pass a...
Resolution.
A resolution. Okay. And the one that they showed was a very general one. But Roosevelt is over a third in the wetlands. And the wetlands require a special permit from DEP. And one of them is for mosquito spraying. So I think that when you do the resolution, that should be stated that they need to take that step to do that.
Wait, can you be more clear? What step to get a special?
They would have to apply for the DEP to spray their mosquito control.
Who would have to apply?
The mosquito control.
Well, right. Aware.
Yeah, we've been spraying here forever.
I'm telling you what I'm perceiving from what they were recommending that you put in there, and what I'm reading from DEP that has specifically that if you want to spray from mosquitoes, that there is a special permit that you apply for. And I think the reason why they do that is because what they normally spray with is toxic to fish and vertebrates in the water. So, and we cannot make that decision for the DEP. That they have to make that step to include them. So, they can say, oh, we can spray because Roosevelt said we could, and we've always sprayed here. And DEP says, well, we're going to talk to Roosevelt and find them because they can't give you that permission.
So there's no communication between the county and the DEP?
I have no idea, Peggy. I just don't want us to be involved.
Well, no. The resolution?
Yeah, number B. They said it
number one, B-A. The county shall utilize pesticides, application equipment, and aircraft that are approved to application federal U.S. EPA and state and JPEP.
Generally, but I think it needs to be stated in our resolution that because Roosevelt is a third wetland, that they have to be sure to get that special use permit from the DEP.
Is there a number on that?
It's GP15 for this.
Right. And that is the...
For spraying for mosquito control. Okay, and it could be what it will mean is they switch from what they normally use to spray to something that would be less damaging. Because what they're using is Gorge insecticide, and that one has on it a label that it says extremely toxic to fish and aquatic invertebrates.
All right, so well, we have to look into it, Ellen.
But this is not for governments.
I'm sorry?
This is for, landowners.
It may be, but even if we as a town wanted to do something in the wetlands, we'd have to get a permit.
That's why, it's expensive, which is why we rely on the Mosquito Commission to do all that for us.
Well, we just need to make sure they do it, because Gorge is what they use, and there it basically says that it's extremely toxic.
Yeah, it kills the invertebrates in the water. That's how you kill the mosquito larvae.
And fish.
Well, fish are invertebrates, but there are a lot of invertebrates there also.
It says runoff can, that's the case anyway. When I have a pond behind my house, they spray. I got plenty of turtles and snakes and fish and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, I mean...
And the alternative is mosquito-borne disease. That's why this is done as a public policy.
I'm not arguing about that. I just want to make sure...
But from the borough's perspective, we either say, yes, come spray, or no, don't come spray. And then we live with, that's it. That's the only options we have. The Mosquito Commission handles all the permits and everything else.
Yeah. The aerial spraying is all that, but then they did local spraying, and residents could say, don't spray my yard. Last year we ran into that.
Yeah, well, if they do aerial spray, really.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, it's targeted.
They were doing...
They do aerial spray over wetlands. So, for example, I live in Aberdeen, but I just said earlier, like by the Bayshore.
Yeah.
And they spray the entire marsh.
Yes.
With a helicopter. Because otherwise you can't go to our parks or anywhere at the Bayshore.
I think the targeted was when they found
West Nile virus.
Right. Then they did.
The biggest issue.
Right. Because then you could opt out because that was targeted. But yeah, since I've been.
Oh, and they almost killed every animal on the planet in the 60s, so I'm not defending, you know, whatever the Ms. Silverman's point is well taken. They almost, you know, the DDT they used to when they started doing this almost killed everything on the planet. So it's certainly not an unfounded concern. I think what we can do is we definitely don't want to hold up public health procedures, but we can... We know the contact of the Mosquito Commission because we contacted them just last year.
It's also in the...
We could contact them and ask them what they're using and its effects, basically.
Silent Spring. That was the 60s.
Rachel Carson.
Yeah. Because, you know, people dismiss concerns that other people have. So it's not an unfounded concern by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah,
but the alternative is to stop the public health.
They did say what they're using. They're using scores.
Okay.
And
they're doing the same once for years. And it's been very effective, by the way.
You know, 1956, when we moved into this area, there was an acceptable...
And here's the fact sheet, but it's basically, it's safe for people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it is. Yeah. They spray it all over the place. Yeah. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. And then this is the...
The other thing they do when they do the surveying is they don't just spray. So they come and they will clear wetlands.
Mike.
So the spraying is just part of the program. You also have to understand as well. When they come through, particularly with the helicopter or they do their survey, they will, like, so for example, I told you I have a pond behind my house. I also have a stream behind my house that if trees fall across it, they build up big pools of water. And so they will come and they clear all that out to keep the streams running as well.
Who does that?
The Mosquito Commission.
Oh, really?
They come with a boat.
Maybe we could have them do it here.
I'm sure if you show them pools of water that are behind people's houses in the woods in a natural stream, they will come through. They have a boat, and they have saws on both sides of the boat, and it basically cuts the stream path back.
How do we find a bunch of mosquitoes if you put them in your woods?
Go with a magnifying
glass. No, I mean, if we put a couple of mosquitoes in the our little stream, and they see it, they'll come and clean it up for us.
They did the targeted thing last year because it was West Nile disease and mosquitoes down by the river.
Oh,
they
did
that. Ellen Silverman in North Carolina. This is what I like to hear talk about this because I think it should be, you know, discussed, and that might be a very good option to keep the water flowing. Another thing is that Environmental Commission, I'm going to recommend tomorrow night, it's like meeting week, that as the spring comes and through the summer, that we do like a educational campaign about make sure you don't have any standing water. Let's, you know, keep, you know.
Especially
you know,
for people who have the flat roofs, they'll to remind them to push the water off their roof.
So we're going to do that, but having so much wetlands around us, obviously we can't stop the breeding there.
We live somewhere in the swamps of Jersey.
Yeah, but
when I moved in, it wasn't called wetlands; it was called swamps. We lived in the swamps.
Yeah.
Then the state all of a sudden became wetlands. Fancier name.
All right.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Mary Thomas, 21 Lake Drive. Well, I just wanted to ask about the Lake Drive repaving. It was discussed last time, and I just wondered, was anything changed about the plans that would take place there? Like, were curbs still planned, or would...
Well, so first of all, Mary, I wanted to tell you, you had discussed this at the last meeting. You had said that you believed it was about 10 years since Lake was paved the last time, but actually you're quite a bit off. So the first half was in 2005, which makes it 19 years ago, and the other half was done a year later in 2006, 18 years ago. And as we said, this probably won't happen until 27. So at that point, it will have been 21 and 22 years ago.
Somehow we're managing to keep that street in better shape than any of the other streets in Roosevelt.
Well, maybe it gets less traffic, who knows. But, so right now, no decisions have been made at all. We just, I did do the research because I thought it had been longer than 10 years, and it's actually almost double that. But we haven't, it's whether we choose to repave Lake or we change it to, as had been discussed.
Well, I don't think you can change to a different street because...
No, I spoke to Carmela about this, and it's an entirely new process. An application has to begin where we, whatever street we would decide to do instead, you know, has to be... Carmela has to prepare everything. And new
because the governing body already authorized her to put in an application for Lake Drive, so...
Right, so it's not...
How many of things?
You already started the ball game.
Well, so it's not quite that simple because we sort of would have to stop. But the governing body did not make any decision yet whether... what exactly to do about Lake.
Well, we committed to paying Carmela.
Well, she did the work.
Well, she did the application.
Is that the one that came into much higher than the grant?
Yeah, we got $183,000 from the grant, but we would still, for the entire street, $789,000, something like that. So, yeah. So that can be, we can always downscale. We can always scale back.
Phasing it.
But,
which she has on this letter.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Which is all in your packet.
Right. But no decision's been made.
But how about the looking at the no putting of curbs in, especially in the grassy area? Well, how does that get looked at? Does the engineer just look at it again? Does the council discuss it?
No, I don't think the... we discuss things whether we want curbs or anything like that.
The engineer comes in with a proposal.
Yeah.
We look at it and we approve or don't approve. As on School Lane, when there was a proposal to put the full curbs in,
or the
drive the mountable curbs, as they call them,
wound
up being no curbs.
Well, the residents were going to lose so much shrubs and bushes and trees. They were really upset, so we were able to skirt around that and not have them removed.
Do you want to drive it? It's less expensive.
Hard to plow, though.
Yeah. And walk on. But no definitive decision. I did the background research, which is that it's been much longer than less than 10 years, and that also we have to start over again with the application process. But as of now...
You would have to start a new application if you switch the order of projects that you're doing? I mean, that's an engineering plan. Why would it change?
Because the grant was for Lake Drive. And so if we switch it to Pine, which had been discussed, the other half of Pine, it's an entirely different...
Okay. So there wasn't any other street in Roosevelt that is planned to be repaved?
Yeah, it was Lake and Spruce. For 27. For 27. We already are on...
Okay.
It's already in the works for North Valley.
27. Now is Tamara. Tamara's next step is first...
Right, and then North Valley in 26.
And then over to whatever's
next. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a little bit of time.
Okay. So I'll just keep an eye out.
Yeah.
I'll just keep an eye out on the agendas to see when you might be discussing the curb situation, because that is, it's a better plan not to have it in terms of letting the ground and the grass do the filtering of the
you know, things on the street that we don't want to end having up in the water.
You're talking about the north side, which is the only side of Lake Drive, per se.
By the way, Rochdale?
I'm for the no curbs.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Spruce. It's actually the whole length of Spruce, the farm, the side where the horse farm is,
yeah, yeah.
There's no curbs there, but I believe there's curbs everywhere else on Lake Drive.
Hmm.
Just not that.
Yeah, just not on
Spruce.
Yeah.
Okay. No curbs on Spruce.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have already approved a little over 50,000 for Cornell to look at this. So. Okay.
Mike?
Yeah. Just a simple question. I just wanted to know the names of the. I didn't catch
your name, Mike. Sorry.
There was no Mike.
No, state your name, Michael.
Say my name.
Yes,
Mike. In the no Mike.
Yes,
in the
yes,
no
yes.
Mike, Mike.
Okay, good. Thank you. Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Okay, my question simply is, you know, for the Borough Bulletin article, I'm going to do an article. Who are the names of three persons? I didn't catch it.
Okay.
I think you may have said it, but I didn't.
It may be easier to just show it to you.
Okay, sure.
Here.
Okay, good. Very good. Thank you very much. That's helpful.
Okay. Well, it was Tina, Katarina, and Ralph.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to close public portion at 7:35. I come to correspondence. As you know, we have a letter received from Monmouth County Mosquito Control Division, dated January 12, 2024, regarding countywide mosquito control program. And we have a letter from Manalapan Township dated February 6, 2024, regarding the shared service agreement with the Western Monmouth Animal Control and applying for an NJDCA Local Efficiency Achievement Program grant. We come to minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of January
2nd, 2024? Did I miss that?
No, you didn't.
So
that was
a motion.
Reorg. Second?
Okay.
Discussion? Roll call?
Okay, so I'm going to put Christina. It's going to be out of order, Lou, for right this meeting, okay?
Don't get upset, Lou.
I object.
Ms. Kaufman?
No,
you can abstain.
Abstain.
Mr. Esikoff?
I'm not asking. Yes.
Ms. Hirstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Marker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Regular meeting minutes passed for January, are adopted for January 2nd, 2024. Do I have a motion for the regular meeting minutes of January 16th, 2024? Someone like to move that?
I stay.
No.
No. Yeah, that's 16. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Lou and Joe were absent.
Right. Okay. Well, Connie made a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Connie and Steve, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have enough people to vote on?
We're going to vote. Christine Kaufman?
Minutes here.
Abstain for the next one. Yep. Mr. Esikoff? Mr. Hamilton is absent. Ms. Hirstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
Okay, abstentions don't count, so it's 2-1, so they pass.
It should.
All right, we have the second reading and public hearing for Ordinance 2024-02, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending Chapter 15, Water and Sewer, of the Borough Code, to clarify that property owners are responsible for all costs of repair and maintenance of service appliances.
I'll move that.
Second? Oh, wait, we have to do the
public hearing.
Yeah, we have to do the public hearing.
Yeah, we've got to open up the public hearing.
7:39 p.m., we're opening the public hearing. Is there anyone from the public who would like to, Mike, discuss the ordinance?
Okay, just Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. I just wanted to ask, if you probably just state for the record exactly what a service appliance, what is meant by service appliance.
I know, that's a weird...
Basically, anything you have connected to the system.
Anything this
so, so a service pipe, everything except the meter.
That's anything connected to the system.
Everything, all parts of the system that are on the... Talking about all parts of the system that are on the property.
All parts of the system, yes, that are from basically the cock stop back into the property,
right,
except the meter. Borough remains responsible for the meter.
Right. Okay.
But everything else, so bathtubs is a service appliance, your service pipes is a service appliance, basically everything that allows
right,
you
sure,
to...
Right, the pipes certainly. I mean, I don't think I would doubt to think that the borough has to repair their bathtub.
No, the genesis of this ordinance is that from time to time people go away or the pipes freeze.
Uh-huh.
Or they need to shut off the water to the house for a particular repair to something that's in their house, or they have to put in a new shower.
Right.
And if you do that outside of the hours that the water operator is here,
then
that will be charged back. If you do it within the times, so you can schedule it with the water operator, then he just comes in and does it, shuts it off for you.
It really has to do with him coming back into town.
Yeah, because the borough chart pays $175 an hour for him to come back.
Right. So it really refers to times when... That other than the normal office.
Operating hours.
It strongly encourages the people to schedule their plumbers for the hours when the water operator is
here,
more or less.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. What are those hours?
Utilities?
He's here a couple of hours a day, so depending on...
Here every day.
He's here every day.
Oh. And he's easily accessible, so you can always contact him.
With, like, the age too old.
Exactly, right, right.
John Holden.
Yeah, and so we, all you have to do is call him and, you know, coordinate when you need a plumber and when he's here.
Well, yes, he comes and tests the water every day.
Yeah. Oh.
If he's on vacation, he has someone from his company come. We have to test the water every day by law.
Okay.
Or someone to call Anna to find out when he's going to be here, if there's any questions.
What are we up to? Closing it? Well, wait.
We have to close public.
I'm going to close the public portion at 7:41 p.m. And roll call.
Christina Kaufman.
You can abstain. What is it for again, though?
In other words, there at certain times that our water operator, John Holden, had to come into town because people had an emergency at their house with the water. So we've had to pay for that. Like, if it's during his regular hours he's here, he'll just do it as part of his job.
Right.
But the way it was working is that people who needed to call him in an emergency, we were getting charged for him to come back into town. So this puts the financial burden on the homeowner that they have to pay.
That I agree with.
And I will say, if you forget to turn off the water, you go to Florida and your hose bit breaks, and the water is shooting out, and then, you know, a relative comes to check on the house and then has an emergency, you can usually claim like this cost, including this cost, the lost water, the cost of repair, you can basically claim it from your homeowner's insurance company.
Right.
So homeowner's not always going to be stuck with it, but the notion is that the public shouldn't be stuck paying for, you know, the convenience of people's plumbers to replace their shower or an emergency that is otherwise the responsibility of the homeowner. That's the public policy.
And then, so my exact, what I need to say is...
Yes.
Okay. or saying you don't have to vote.
And when in reality what happens is John will come out to the curb stop. So there's a water main on the street, and it goes towards your house, there's a curb stop, a faucet to turn it on and off, then it goes through your meter, then it goes to your house. So for him to come and turn the water off to your house at the curb, that's what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Because no one's allowed to touch that cost stop except the borough or him, someone authorized by the borough. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd have people turn it on and off their own water all the time.
Right.
Just in your own home where you're...
We had a situation recently where someone...
This is different. You can shut it off in the house.
Yeah.
This is if it's at the... So, or as a homeowner, you should have that in your house. But some people don't and have to get it turned off at the street to get mm-hmm. something like that installed.
Okay.
So you can see the myriad of circumstances sure. where people's circumstances in their house, the public ends up paying for it if he has to come back for an emergency or something like that.
Got it.
So if you've turned off at your house, because you can do it,
yeah.
is there any reason?
No.
Do you have anything else done?
No.
Typically, no. It's shutting off your own valve, which is inside the meter, but you can pretty much do almost any normal repair in your house if you have that shut-off valve.
Some people, you can't turn it off inside.
Well, some people have not maintained them, and you can't turn it off inside, and then the idea is the public shouldn't have to pay. If you schedule that while John's here, that's fine, but the public shouldn't be paying for your plumber's convenience to come shut it off at the street so you can put it at valve.
For your house.
But some probably haven't been updated since.
Yeah, which that's the policy behind it, right? We don't need that popping out and breaking either when someone's not home. In a town like this, because it's such a small water system, I'll give you an example. So in Allentown, which is very similar, is actually a little bigger than this.
Right.
A woman went to Florida, and her pipes blew out in her basement from the cold, and her sump pump was pumping it into the storm drain.
Yeah.
And at such a high rate that it wasn't overflowing, so we couldn't find, the borough could not find where the water was going, and the water tower was going down, which affects all the pressure in the fire hydrants. If there's a fire, it became an emergency.
Right.
As to, you know, basically every person in the town that worked for the town was out looking for the water leak.
Wow.
So this encourages people to maintain that stuff so you can take care of everything without calling us, basically.
Right.
That was the Allentown situation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 South Main Street was the house. Never forget it. And basically, one of the council people found in the storm drain just a massive amount of water flowing, and then just followed it uphill to where it was coming from, and then they narrowed it down to like 3 or 4 houses, knocked on all the doors, and that was the only one that wasn't home. That's how they found it. But the alarm, the SCADA alarm, was going off. For John works there too, on the water tower, because once it gets below a certain level, you can't fight fires. Which has been the whole town could burn down. So that was, you know, that was the worst case scenario in a situation like this.
But we had someone in town recently, a house in town, where it's unoccupied, and there was a major leak, and I think we used 75,000 gallons in 1 month or something, and the bill was enormous. So, you know, John went out as soon as we realized that, shut that off, and contacted the owners of the home.
It's a lot of water,
yeah.
And you'd be surprised how fast the water disappears before you figure out that you think 75,000 gallons, oh, I'd see that right from the street, but the house is designed to get rid of it. So it's...
Well, that's the story behind some people not having the original parquet flooring in their homes anymore.
Yeah, we all had... Every house was built with 3/4-inch oak parquet floors, which would be completely unaffordable today. That's a very expensive floor, and every house has them. But we don't have basements, we don't have, you had a flood, there goes your floor. Okay,
So we were on a vote.
We were.
Sorry, I think I
said that. That's okay, so we're going to go back.
It's okay.
You could just call me Tina.
Well, I do everybody properly.
Okay. Well, it's Christine. It's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E.
Okay. Well, what your last name?
Oh, my last name?
Do you want Maroot? Or Kaufman Maroot, so I'll say.
You can just say Maroot.
Okay.
You just Maroot.
Okay, so Christine, Miss Maroot.
Yes.
You were a yes. Mr. Ethical. Mr. Hamilton is absent. Ms. Hertzstrom.
Yes.
Mr. Marker.
Yes.
Mr. Kamel.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, that's adopted.
Okay. 2024-02 has been adopted. Come to consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 24-38, payment of bills for February 20th, 2024. Resolution 24-39, resolution authorizing the application to the state of New Jersey under the LEAP program for animal control equipment. and Resolution 2440, authorizing the County of Monmouth Mosquito Control Division to conduct aerial mosquito control operations within Roosevelt Borough. Okay. Second?
Okay.
Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Maroon?
Yes.
Mr. Escobar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton? Oh, my God. I did that again. I'm going home. Ms. Erstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And
yeah. Consent agenda resolutions have been adopted. Come to reports of committee chairs. Council member.
So, next meeting,
right.
We will do the committees.
Right. Because Tina, would you like environmental health and safety? That was Bob Atwood's committee. And also, that's generally the committee we give to new people.
Sure.
Because it's sort of the. Because it's easiest to get your feet wet.
Okay.
Responsible
for the safety of the town.
Right.
Right.
Solely responsible.
So there'll be a resolution on the next meeting appointing you that, and
the Environmental Commission will keep you busy. Yeah. Right, Ms. Silver?
Okay. All the resolutions.
She works full time and has two children.
I had to stop before.
Okay, Councilmember Essikoff, administration.
Yeah, I have something. You know, I speak to Adam every day, once a day, find out what's going on in the world. Because I get stopped sometimes from I grew up. I didn't know about this thing, but you would have heard about it. She spends an enormous amount of time dealing with people who are buying the houses, repairing them or whatever they're doing to them, and renting them, renters. Yet these people are not paying attention. She has to chase them for...
The owners of the houses are not.
That's what I said, yeah. The owners.
Yeah.
And it's taking an enormous amount of her time.
The government has changed.
Could we have an ordinance that said no renters?
No.
No owners?
I don't think so. You can't stop that.
Taking. Right?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
What's happened is that.
I think I asked you that
before. There weren't really any.
You can't change your mind, can
I? not unless you want to pay everyone in the house, put a deed, everyone in the town to put a deed restriction on their house.
What
was that? It would be exorbitantly expensive because you'd be restricting their use of property. You'd essentially.
Not legal, huh?
Not legal.
Oh, too bad.
What's happened is that people could just rent out their house. It's not that way anymore. The government has really clamped down on all kinds of laws and regulations and rules and paperwork, documentation,
insurance,
covering everything, lead paint, insurance, everything. So now it has created, and they're very strict about it, very rigid, so it's created a lot of extra work for Anna because there are the papers in the other room, I forget, there's maybe 22 rental houses in town.
That's a lot.
And they frequently turn over every year or so. So it's a lot of work for her.
There's got to be a way to control.
You could increase your fees.
Yeah, certainly increase the fees.
You can increase your fees for rental applications.
Well, but it still takes her time. They don't pay. Listen, they're not paying the $10.
The idea is you raise the fee and you get a part-time
employee to come in and process. Say, we probably, there's so much that Anna does that is really not under her.
If you raise the fees, they're not paying the $10. If you raise the fees to $50, they won't pay it either. They're going to call it, they don't pay.
Yeah, it's two different issues, Lou. One is they're not paying, and two is it's all this work for Anna. So what we could do is hire a part-time person, increase the fee so we have some extra money to hire a part-time person to just deal with that and some other, because Anna's doing almost everything on a dump, not, I shouldn't say almost everything, but a huge part of her workload is not even under her job description at all. Yeah, she, the rentals have really, and especially chasing them down. Yeah, I know. Well, we can discuss raising the fee, application fee, and hiring another part-time person.
Is there going to be a packet, an informational packet?
Joe? Yeah, they read it and throw it away and don't comply. And it's really pervasive. It's almost every rental owner, or, you know, homeowner that rents. It's just pervasive. It's constant chasing them down. They completely ignore us. So someone,
I mean, you can find them up to $2,000 a day for not having a CO.
Well, someone actually today didn't show up for court.
Do they have to? Are they getting COs when the occupancy changes?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what they
read the resolution.
That's what she's processing?
This well, the attorney processes, judge, she follows up, makes sure she's got
all the papers, all the documentation.
Fired and they haven't paid the, it's a rental, they haven't paid the fees.
Well, I mean, you can make the fee.
Is
there a fee $25
for a CO? No, I think... Well, it's, you know, with the landlord registration, I don't want to say, but I think it's 100.
That's what I just did in Bradley Beach, but I can't see why you couldn't make it more than that. I'm looking at the landlord registration, and basically you just give them a form they have to fill out every time they have a new occupancy, and then they also have to get a CO. So yep. They end up paying almost $300 by the time.
We do renewals every year.
Yeah, but they're not filling out the applications.
Well, then Jeremy's got to go write them a ticket, and that ticket in the code for no CO is up to $2,000 a day for not having a CO. That's one of the worst tickets you can get as a landlord in municipal court.
As I said, someone today didn't show up for court for that very reason, and so they were an arrest warrant was issued.
Yeah, they'll get them. You can't have people just live in places without the smoke detectors and stuff checked.
Right.
You know, but the fact is that they're not paying the $10 one. How are you going to get them to pay the $2,000?
Well, not giving them a CO.
It ends in arrest, Lou, if you don't comply.
Not giving them a CO.
It ends in...
And then if they have people in there and there's no CO, and they end up in court.
Good idea. That's
and if they don't show up to court, then the arrest warrant gets issued.
Which is what happened today.
They have to show up.
Today
someone, a homeowner who, you know, has been... told repeatedly that they need to fill out, you know, the application, the money, this and that, and they never did. And then they had a court date today, and they didn't show up. So now an arrest warrant was issued. So maybe at the next meeting we should discuss upping the fees and hiring.
I think you should increase the certificate of occupancy fee and also require it upon the change of annually for rental properties or upon the change of any occupancy.
For rentals only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't punish the people who did
it. Oh, you mean the tenants?
No, if you do change of occupancy and someone sells their house, you only do the CO on sale. That's why you always have to get a CO when you go to sell it. Not only because the bank wants to know that you can live in it and you're claiming it's your primary residence, but because it's upon the change of occupancy. So if you're a landlord and you're renting for 6 month terms or 1 year terms, you have to get the safety of the unit should be checked every time a new tenant goes in there. That's the standard.
Well, I think we do that.
Yeah, and if they don't do that and you find a rental property out there and Jeremy knocks on the door and it's a tenant, and that's one. And two, the tax assessor also has the power to compel the production of the lease for a property like that. So it's not, you can't hide it. Once you find out there's a rental property without a CO, you hit them with a ticket, and you hit them with a ticket every time Jeremy's here until they get a CO. And each ticket is $2,000, and every, you know, it's like one of the most dangerous things you could have, really, is tenement houses that people are checking. That's how people get burned down and people die. Mm-hmm. You know, not that's the case here. You don't have a lot of multi-unit buildings, but it's the same thing, you know. Can't have people in rental per units where people are making money and they don't have smoke detectors. That's not.
Yeah, lead paint seems to be a big one too.
Yeah, the lead paint inspections is the next thing that's up for all sorts of stuff. But in the shorter term, it seems like you need some help processing.
We do
CO applications.
Well, processing and chasing. So So we should discuss at the next meeting raising the fees for the application, making sure that no COs are given until everything is paid and documented.
You and I should talk, sit down with Anna.
Yeah, no, I talk about this with Anna every day.
Well, we should sit down and decide what kind of
money.
Oh, and also, right, what, and possibly, I think it's time to probably hire another part-time employee. I think it's also probably time to hire another person.
And discuss with her hiring somebody.
Yeah.
She'd be crazy not to let you.
If you're going to expend it, then you figure out what that person would do, and then we go to the code to figure out what all the fees are, and we whack up the salary accordingly, and we charge it back in the fees. That's what the fees are there to do. They're not here to make a profit. They're to break even on whatever the borough's paying to make sure that the housing units in town are safe.
Right.
Our two inspectors are running around.
Yeah.
Well, that's the life of a code enforcer many times. So that's the life of a code enforcer many times. You know, most times people don't leave their property with code violations, either on purpose or because they're doing the right thing or because they're easily accessible or, you know. No, I mean, that's also why we have the general penalty up to $2,000. So, you know, a CO ticket is certainly worthy of a $1,000, $2,000 fine, just right off the bat. And I've been places where when it's in a land, someone who habitually violates it, particularly up north where they have apartment buildings, that you just cannot have people, you know, 1,000 people living in unsafe housing units, those landlords will get hit on with daily penalties if they're habitual offenders.
Yeah. Okay.
Because otherwise, buildings burn down and people pass away.
Well, we have to decide also, do we want to hire someone and what exactly...
We gave everybody enough time to speak.
Oh, some people are, they're 2 years behind.
Yeah, unless we just get tickets.
Yeah.
There's one I read every day. Every day, the same person.
Yeah.
She's chasing him. He's in Hawaii or somewhere.
No, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I see him there.
And the tenants don't let anyone in. They refuse to open the door. Okay.
Right.
Let's move on.
They don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? If you give those tenants proof from the municipality that there's no certificate of occupancy, they can't be evicted. And smart tenants stop paying the rent. And then Mr. Las Vegas flies back immediately and gets his paperwork in order because the tenants stop paying the rent. You know, it's all connected together. You can't just do whatever you want. It's not the way it works. Particularly, you can do whatever you want. A lot of things in America, rental housing is not one of them. I can tell you that. So, that's how you do it. When Jeremy goes over there and tells them that there's no landlord registration, there's no CO, and they call the first landlord-tenant lawyer, they stop paying the rent. And there's nothing Mr. Las Vegas can do to get them out.
Okay, guys, in Las Vegas, I bet you dollars to dollars coming back for that.
Well, he will when he doesn't
when
receive
when
his rental.
Does on the quarter, the quarter when the tax bill comes in, then he rent.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you get people to do what they're supposed to do. It's all not necessarily always the government either. It could be your tenants. If you don't have your paperwork in order, your tenants aren't paying the rent, you can't get them out. That's a serious business problem. It's probably better than anything the government can do anyway.
I will accept anything that will make it stop
doing. And there's more than one.
What?
And then there's more than one. We have a problem with almost every rental
market.
Yeah.
Not one.
Okay. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development.
Okay. I have a follow-up from last meeting where we talked about trying to get quotes for the one tree that is in the amphitheater area. It's very large, and I was just wondering what if anyone worked on that at this point, or who's going to be getting the quote. You know, for that.
Is that the big one?
Yes.
Facing the statue to the left, that's covered with vines.
Yes, it's not right by me.
That's definitely a dead tree.
Yeah.
It's been dead for years now.
Okay. So.
Well, we can have the tree people come out. Tree wise man.
Okay.
The purchasing agent gets the quotes.
Yeah.
If you get commission work, the purchasing agent.
Okay.
Anna.
Yeah, I didn't know if the amphitheater committee was going to do it or if you were pulling it. Or
no,
but it, wouldn't that be part of a bond once we get the bond?
No, not necessarily.
And that tree gets full anytime. 2 months ago, we had one fall, 10 feet away from the head.
I think you guys should talk about hazardous things and benefits too. We need to go into a closed session really to discuss that. I got that email from Anna.
Well, you need two steps. You need the quotes, and then you need the availability of funding, which is what the clerk pointed out. So whether that's via bond, it's in the borough budget this year, or what have you, George has to be able to say it's in this line item, and that's what pays the tree company. So those are the two requirements.
We're talking about one tree, I believe.
We are.
One tree. It's a big tree, but there's one.
Yeah. So it depends on how much money it is. If it's 15% of the bid threshold, which is 17.5 is the bid threshold, so 15% of that is 5250, thereabouts. If it's below 5250, then you can just get the quote, certify the funds, and spend the money. If it's between 5250,
no, 2625.
I doubled that.
Yeah. 2,625. Anything over that, you have to get a quote.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you for doing the math. Thank you for doing the math correctly. I'm a lawyer. I can only divide by three.
So
in that case, you need multiple quotes, and then certification of funds and award the contract. So
can we get the quote? Can we get that by next meeting?
Yeah,
that's Anna. Well, so more than that was when the people get back to us.
Can we put the action item on in the notes to do that?
I have a quote for one tree in Anthony. I don't know if she knows where it is. Is it marked? Is there a ribbon around it?
No.
No.
It's obvious. It's pretty obvious.
And does the council want this to go through and not through the bond, through just the regular budget?
Who knows when the bond's going to happen? We let the tree down so that they can come in and do things.
Because I know the trees that we were told that the trees that are dead on the triangle at Tamara and Pine, they prefer to wait till spring.
Yeah. I think to determine
this
what
is really
this is deader than dead.
This is better than dead. This is like you don't want to
do a bunch of things.
One tree.
Yeah. But you're only
talking about. He's got a full weight. He comes from several trees. They have to come down or as many. The charge is less, but he doesn't have to haul his equipment back and forth.
That's true.
That's a cost.
How much?
Well, spring.
I don't know, but it's
spring is a
whatever
not far
say,
off.
I'm willing to say.
This is a really bad tree. This is dangerous.
All right, it's a dangerous kind of thing.
It's dangerous.
Okay.
The school's right there.
All right, fair enough.
Should at least get a price on it, you know. So.
Yeah, we can do that.
And we've been using the tree wise men. Tree wise men.
Yeah.
Right. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right, but if it's over the
if it's over, then you
have to get three quotes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you can't, you go with it. You go with what you got.
Okay. We're working behind the scenes on plans for the ambient construction plans, and we're hoping to have things sent off to SHPO probably by the middle of March. So we're waiting to see those and we'll be able to bring those forward, hopefully by the next meeting. The next meeting, the 18th, you know, after that, March. Okay, and then in terms
of. So not the next meeting,
the following. Yeah, right, yeah. I have a question too. If I know I will be absent for the next meeting. Is there a way to call in? Can you do anything?
No, we can't do hybrid.
We can't do hybrid, okay. Okay. All right, so we have the 18th, is fine. And also, just to talk about the Roosevelt Senior Group, we have planned a meeting that will not be held here. It'll be separate from our usual Tuesday meetings. And it's on June the 5th, and it's going to be a trip that's going to be in Tom's River out on the water. And if people are members, you know, of a group, you know, they would be okay to be able to go.
Is that the riverboat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
What's that?
Riverboat Tours.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what does it take to be a member? Or do the members pay dues?
Yes, $15.
Per?
Per person?
Per person.
No, no, I meant
per
meeting?
She wants to know per year.
Per meeting, per year?
Per year, 15.
A year?
Yes.
It's reasonable? Yeah, it's reasonable.
Once you have that, then the perks of
so could we put out a flyer advising people that, you know, for $15 a year, they can join and take advantage of this trip?
Yes. You just have to let
Ann
know what you
put out. Well, I can let
you know. So the trip is reach the members that are members of the senior? Is that what you're saying?
Parents of the amount is what will be charged.
Oh.
So we will be paying, you know, part of it.
So what is the total cost?
No,
to go in the riverboat. How much is it?
Four.
I think it's 55.
Yeah, but you want to know how much
the person, the senior citizen, would be responsible for.
Yeah, $28.
Okay.
It's got a fake one on it.
It's a fake one on the side.
The
two Yamahas.
We're going to eat lunch. That
sounds awesome.
It's part of the one in Point Pleasant. It's the River Lady. There's Point Pleasant has one.
And Connie, making are there arrangements for people to get there?
Well, we have to try to organize. If they can't do it themselves, I'm sure there'll be other cars.
Okay.
Yeah, carpooling.
Yeah.
Okay.
$28 for
free meal.
Yeah.
But they have to be a member.
You have to pay the 15 first.
Right.
$28 for non-members.
$15. And that's what
you do. Right.
And then
you
can
do
anything.
Yes. Right. 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 You don't want to spend $43.
Too much.
Okay, Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Nothing.
And Councilmember Trammell, Utilities?
Just a couple of things. The generator at the sewer plant, apparently there's a bad radiator on it.
Apparently.
You know, that's got to be repaired. Went through Greg and Fred, and everybody kind of walks away. So we're going to go ahead and, I believe, order the one through Modern Power.
And they'll order a new one because it's the old one really can't be repaired, can't be pulled out, can't be.
It's the old one isn't going to be pulled out because we have no public works department to pull it out per se. Greg can't do it by himself.
Well, not sure because Fred just, I think it was, I don't think they want to. I think they would, they know how to do it, but they're not willing to do it. So we're just going to order a new one.
Power does our generator. The radiator itself will cost with transportation $10,000. All right, that's why we wanted to try to repair it.
We got
a water plant generator, and everything is fine with that 3 years later.
I have a radiator in my car.
That's fine. This is the one for this, so it cost us like $12,000-$13,000 total to get it done. The water plant also, the generator oil pressure switch on that, according to Fred, is not
kaput,
but it's not.
He said it has to be replaced.
So that'll be another $2,000. Then we have.
Well, you're a spender.
Hey, man. The slant wheel road grade. We're going to have KTK at the last meeting. We decided that would be done. They came in with Lois said to take all the gravel and stuff out of the yard at the water plant and the driveway, which is gravel over asphalt, which is not good for the environment because the water doesn't seep into the ground there and it becomes a giant mud puddle when cars are in and out. scrape all of that up, put fresh gravel for
widen it,
put fresh gravel down,
widen
the driveway a little bit. And the apron is already more or less done, so you can see the street when they're driving out of the driveway there. And there's a slant wheel road grader that was one of the original pieces to make the town roads back in the day. So that sits over there. Greg was nice enough to clean up around it, so it's visible now. So we might want to take that and put it somewhere one day because it's
antique.
It's antique from the beginning of the town.
Wow.
That's how they plowed the roads.
Mm.
And so apparently it's there and it's a good thing. And, you know, it'd be nice to put it somewhere and make it like this is the history of the town. This is what they plowed the roads with in the beginning and stuff like that.
So maybe you can go on the grounds of the behind the amphitheater or somewhere.
The that's a steady thing. It's over, if you go up the driveway to the water plant, you'll see this plow looking thing on the left.
Huh.
It's all rusty, but that's what it is.
It's old.
We have one of the original Levitt ones in our town.
Original?
So Levitt built our town in Aberdeen.
Oh,
Levittown.
So Levittown. Aberdeen's a Levittown, or at least a lot of it.
Yeah.
And he left us one of those things. It's in front of our DPW as like a showpiece. It's been painted. Okay. The guys painted it all up and put it out there. It's pretty cool.
Flowers in the...
I'd like to
lie
underneath.
Well, that person is buried. But it's like to take care of stuff that is the history of the town. To me,
yeah,
that's meaningful. Yeah. So at least it's cleaned out around, it's not going to get overgrown by weeds now. But at some point we should think about what to do with it. You drive them by, you should just take a look, you can see it now.
It's cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Okay, reports of... Wait, where am I? Wait, it's our officials. Anybody?
No.
Michael Tixon, 37 North Valley. Just let you know that tomorrow morning I have the CDBG meeting online. So
that is Tina. That's a grant. It's a grant.
I'm sorry.
CDBG is
a
development block grant.
Okay.
So that's the one thing we get one vote in that. And I mean, I've been in the past. I've been the chairman of it. Just let you know that we're having a meeting.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. The Environmental Commission is meeting tomorrow. One of the things going on is we're talking with people at school, possibly putting in a rain garden there to, improve our stormwater and beautify it a little bit, nice flowers and stuff.
Where?
The person from the Rutgers Water came out to discuss that with me today, and we have to talk to the school and make sure everything is okay. But probably
excuse me.
On the path. At the intersection where you're coming around the path, there's the cement slab where you can play ball against the wall. In that area, so the water running off of that cement slab we've applied for plants, about 800 plugs. Little native plants. Hopefully, we'll get that. We'll know by next month. Next month, we'll know if we get the 400 tree seedlings for the town.
So, Ellen, what side of that piece all around it, or
it'd be on one of the corners.
Okay.
But again, it's really. We looked at that. We looked at a few other places.
What street? Where is this?
That would be the school grounds.
Ellen, do you mean the handball court, or do you mean the pavement near the basketball court?
You know where, like, there's the gym,
right.
And then the cement slab.
Right.
Like that's the gym wall.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Is that the handball court?
That's what I always called it, the handball court.
Yeah.
I mean, the other concrete stuff is newer in terms of when the addition was built, which is near the basketball court.
There were a few other sightings when we the watershed did that impervious surface. They also did plans for four places where you could put in a rain garden. One of them was at the school, but where they had it for the map really was not a good spot for it. So we walked around, and there were two places, but that one seemed to be the most promising.
If you're standing, like, looking at the handball court wall, to the left or the right, where you...
It would be either to the right or the left.
Oh,
one of
them.
To
the right is, like, more where, like, the pine trees are and the grass.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas
right.
the left is more heading towards the basketball court.
Right.
And where the sidewalk is.
Right.
Right. And you have to find out if the school board thinks that's a good idea.
Also, possibly you could look at the pocket park. Because, you know, we do have a nice bench there and a nice, but we've never really done much with it.
I had the engineer plan for the rain garden. I get one per year for free through the Rutgers because I'm a green infrastructure champion. So I chose the school because I also had a link into Xerces Society for possible plans to plant a rain garden. That's a couple of $1,000.
Yeah, I didn't mean instead of. I just meant, like, in the future.
I have my eyes on that.
Especially because I would assume that once the winery opens, more people will be using that park.
Well, there's also...
People use it. We know because of the trash can. But it's kind of a...
Well, it's not only that, but you have drainage from the road that's causing erosion there, and that's just bioswale or something needs to be put in there. So it's a perfect place to have that kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, on the other side, how much of that land is open space?
The other side of the street on Spruce belongs
to... Directly,
if you followed Spruce through, that is still Spruce, but there's no road there. So that is our road, and I believe off to the right on the tax map, until you get to the houses, is open space also. I'm curious.
Well, there's no real houses on Spruce.
No, I...
The one, the...
Oh, not on Spruce.
The places where the horses are in the fenced-in area.
Right.
Part of that is open space, am I correct?
All of
right.
that.
Yes.
All of that is open space.
Yeah. All on the side where 571 is?
Yeah,
it's like 200 feet off 571.
I expect that to be changing with the change of ownership of the farm.
Okay.
So remember, that is still her property.
It's
not going to be part of the winery.
Right. But
the Fluxburg Road side is Roosevelt and open space property.
Right.
On the first until the first fence on Fluxburg Road, that's Roosevelt. That was the whole thing about
the landslide.
That is supposed to
be open space.
So
you think that's changing? Because that also has an eroded area.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can talk about it yet. We'll discuss this more at a later date.
Okay, because I was just thinking there is also a place where it looks like it's eroding. It's coming, a lot of water's coming off the road, and that might be another area of potential green infrastructure, which would help with our stormwater management.
And Ellen, there's one rain garden in existence already that drains from the roof into the circular garden.
Yes, she was admiring that.
Okay, thank you, Ellen.
One last thing about rain gardens is if you go past developments now, you see the big ponds that they use for evaporation ponds and all of this. Rutgers says that that's not the way to go anymore. The way to go is rain gardens where it becomes that the plants soak up the water as opposed to just
Yeah, those things, though, can be made more environmental. You know, they need to plan them out. They shouldn't be mowing it. They should not be impacting it. And they should not have that cement going down, making the water.
So yeah. All of the old technology is changing to the new technology.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, old business is improvements to Lake Drive and Spruce Lane, but I think we've covered that tonight.
Well, in your packet is that new letter set on the agenda about splitting the road, and
right.
It gives some
$54,000 worth of options.
Yeah.
So do we have to approve that now, or has that been approved?
That has not been approved.
No, that's why.
You have to decide if you're going.
You guys usually make the decision in a meeting like this, and then we bring a resolution at the next meeting to confirm whatever you guys decide.
I propose to table that until we have a full council and there's more information on it and stuff like that.
Well, I think we have all the information if you want to wait until we have a full council, but.
Look, I don't think we should approve the repaving of the lake quite yet until we look at other situations. Like, if we're going to have the trickling filters done down at the end of Pine Drive, we're going to ruin the road there, and it's in terrible shape now. We should consider that Pine Drive be done before Lake Drive.
Right, but I'm just telling you that entails.
I don't think
a
you're going to have that option.
Right.
You're going to have that option.
You have to go with this $54,000.
That decision was made when you guys sat here and decided Lake Drive or Pine.
Yeah.
That decision was made when you made the application for the grant for Lake Drive. Remember, Carmel gave you three options. Pine was one of them. And you guys chose Lake. So now you have an application for Lake. So Lake's going to have to go before Pine.
Okay. But do we have to approve that the next month?
No.
Months?
You have time.
Okay, we have time. So I think we should take our time then. Look at the options.
Well, just to be clear, there's two options.
Yeah.
So the options are you split it in half, and then you pick one half of the other.
Or the whole thing, and curves on screws and stuff like that, you know. So.
Well, I think when you're in.
Yeah, it's early for that part of it.
I don't think we need curves on there.
Yeah, that's a little.
Yeah, you don't have to decide that at this moment.
Right.
So that's when she does the specs. So if that's the case, then I think you really just, in order to use the $183,000, you have to pick which half of Lake Drive you're doing first. That's basically the question. And then you could do the whole thing, but you came back your last time and balked at the $660,000 additional cost.
Wasn't it
$643,000.
We all have a different number.
I think you guys made a very smart decision, because you can apply your $183,000 to the scope half of Lake Drive, and then you can apply for the other half of Lake Drive for another grant later. Yeah. And so it's just a matter of which side, at this point, which side of Lake Drive you're doing first. South Rochdale to South Valley Road, or South Valley Road to Spruce Court and including Spruce Court. And both of those cost the same amount of money. You have the same application of $183,000. It's $475 each. You have the $183,000 to apply to it, and that looks a lot more like your other annual road programs than $700,000 over and above. But then
we don't have to approve this tonight.
We do not. But I think that your point is
2 years. No,
that water contract within 2 years, but she has to.
She still has to design it. Yeah.
Right.
So you got to basically give her the scope. It's not going to kill us if we wait another meeting to have the full council here.
Well, we won't have the full council because Connie won't be here.
Can we get a sense of with the people who are here what they would choose?
Yeah, we'll have to share.
I think we should choose Valley and Valley to the farm and Spruce, because Mary says Hurt and is fine. And
that's the newer section, though.
And we're going to have the winery opening, so. So I think it makes more sense to do Valley to Spruce and Spruce.
And like, what about plans for parking and those kinds of things for the winery? You should probably have a good.
Well, that goes to the planning board. That's all decided by the planning board.
Yeah, it's on their site. They can't use the road as part of their parking requirement.
Okay, so that's already been a decision.
Yeah.
that all parking for the winery will need to be on winery
property.
That's the rules for anybody who opens any commercial establishment in the town. You have to have show on-site parking, or you have to show control of it on someone else's property or otherwise.
Well, I think it just makes more sense to do that, that end.
And then if you're saying that South Valley to South Rochdale isn't really in that poor of condition, then that seems like the time to jump Pine Drive into the next grant application instead of doing the other half, maybe the other half of Lake can wait.
Because hopefully by then the sewer plant will be taken care of and the road is in terrible condition right now.
Okay. So but you don't want to redo that? Oh, that's why you didn't, because you don't want to roll the trucks over Pine Drive.
Right, when it's brand new, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then that gives you 3 years of leeway for the next grant application to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, it's all business, so we can just bring it up again next meeting and make a decision.
Can I put in?
We put on the record that you're in favor of
South Valley Road to Spruce Court and Spruce Court.
I think it's Spruce Lane, but
Spruce Lane. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it dead?
No. Well, yeah, it's weird. So part of it is on Rochdale, but then if you drive down it, you have to make a left onto Lake.
Oh, gotcha.
So it doesn't go straight through, otherwise you're on Beth Farm. You go straight. So you get to the end, you come in from Rochdale, you make a left, or you go up Lake and make a right. So
I gotcha.
Not exactly a dead end, because you can make a left or a right at the end of it, but it's a weird.
But it's all part of the same elbow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mike Lyon confirmed that the sewer line will not be a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They don't have to be done.
No, there's no problem with anything with the sewer handling.
There's probably plastic.
Well, it was just a matter of this. Can the sewer system handle the winery? It's absolutely no problem at all.
It's not terracotta. That's the point.
I'm thinking it's probably asbestos cement pipe, because my guess is, and from the old maps, if I'm remembering right, that the pipes up there are probably asbestos cement, because they're asbestos cement. That's what they put in like the 60s and 70s up until the 80s, where we switched over to PVC. But I would suggest that we have those pipes videoed, and maybe
on Spruce or on Lake.
There's nothing on Spruce, because it goes down to the pump station.
Right. So just
the old pipe used to run down, and you abandoned that.
Well, from the swim club to the lift station, there is a pipe. So the new house over there runs up under Clarksburg Road to the lift station.
Does?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it used to go through the woods, they abandoned the pipe on Brown, they abandoned that, shoots it over to the lift station by the farm now.
Interesting. Okay, but...
we can make arrangements to
do that before you decide which part of the road you want to do, because if you have...
So video all of it.
If you have pipe collapses... You might want to let that be the deciding factor, because there's not a lot of difference in the pavement condition between the first one and one.
So video all of Lake.
Yes, I video.
That
way you know ahead of time, and you no surprises.
Yeah. Well, that's a my question.
Okay.
It seems to be okay with it, but we'll ask again.
No, I had a meeting. I have a report from him. He's fine with it.
He said we don't need to tell us.
Oh, I don't know about televising. He was talking about the sewer system handling the winery, and that was no problem. Well, the pipe, yeah.
We've had rags and the lift station that really create a lot of havoc. So
that's never ending.
Yeah, it's fast.
Yeah.
So and people flush all kinds of things. Small animals.
Yeah.
Matchbox cars.
How about squirrels? Yeah. How about
squirrels? I couldn't
find
my squirrels
last night, and I sort of...
The action figures get stuck.
I was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden it was in my hair, and I was like, I think it was in my dog's bed. Better than stopping up the toilet or the sewer system. Okay. New business. Anyone at the table have any new business they would like to discuss? No. Okay. Anything from Good and Welfare? Good that we have Tina on. All right, I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 8:33 p.m. Public, you want to say anything? No. All right, I'm going to close public comment at 8:33. Here we are. So we need a closed session, Counselor?
Yes.
Yes.
To discuss exception number 7, matters within the attorney-client privilege.
I can read the resolution.
And for the public's benefit, there'll be no action taken following
executive session. No formal action at the end. Okay, this is going to be resolution number 24-41. Providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21, 1975, permits the public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting provided for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss the subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of the meeting shall be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters exception to number 7, attorney-client privilege, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. I need a first and a second, please.
Motion to go into closed.
Second.
Okay. Roll call vote. Ms. LaRue.
Yes. We want to go into closed session, okay. So it's what the it's potential litigation, different.
What is my answer choice?
Yes.
So, if you'd like to enter an executive session to exclude the public, you have to. We have to pass a resolution to do that because otherwise we have to do everything in front of the people that were sitting here. If we want to, yes, to go to closed session.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.